I am Shisada Akona Kamara, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine. Well, good evening, our BBS family. It's so good to be with you tonight. You're listening to Satsang with the Shambhala Center, and this is Shisada Kono Kamada. I'm also joined by our core council members, PLEN, Tim, Linda, and Megan, and we're all here in service to you tonight. We're going to go ahead and get started, so take a nice deep breath and get centered, and I will clear the space. Mother, Father, God, that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring past knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one shaft to surround each one of us, and I ask that they all be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in humble service to you and to humanity. And I place myself in service to all of you listening. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. And because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Good. Come on back. Wow, what a crazy bunch of energy that's been running lately. I will say one thing, if this past, couple months and really this last month have been just chaos for you, you are not alone. I think more people than not are experiencing that. And if you haven't, then I'm consider this your warning. Because it may be coming. It's interesting how some people get hit at different times with things, but there's just so much going on. And in my own personal world, it's literally for the last month and a half, it's been one thing after another, after another, after another, just things going haywire, things. You'd think we were in like the worst Mercury retrograde ever, but we're not even in retrograde. It's crazy. So, So just remember it's all energy. It will pass at some point and, stay the calm in the center of the storm to the best of your ability. And don't get down on yourself if you fall short every now and again, because if there's just a lot moving, it's just part of what's going on. So be kind to yourselves. I didn't have anything specific planned for tonight. So let's just see what presents. I will say at the top of the hour here, if anyone does want to call in tonight with a question, this would be a great night for it because I don't have anything specific planned. So if you have just a general question about the work, or if you're someone who's been doing the work to the best of your ability from home and you want to ask me a question about something you come up against or anything, feel free. I'd love to speak with you. Okay, so let's look. We'll take a look quickly just at part of the challenge of doing the work. And when I say doing the work, yes, it's kind of specific to the work that we do here at the center. Because the way that I go about doing the work that moves through my lineage is very unique. And there aren't many people on the planet who do that. So, but this isn't just about that, because your daily life is your work. And that's, you know, I sometimes it feels like I'm beating a dead horse, but I can't stress that enough. Your life is your spiritual work. You know, it's not, yes, there's a component where, yeah, you've got to find a guide. You've got to find something to help you move, right? Because if awakening was as simple as you just deciding to do it, then no one would be stuck here in third density. It's really that simple. Everyone would have had enough of all the junk a long time ago and would have all decided, that's it, you know, let's move on. The fact is that, you know, it just is. You move through the world with one arm up reaching for help and one arm down to help others coming up behind you. And that is the way it will be indefinitely. I mean, it just goes and goes and goes and goes. Because don't think that you'll move into the space of quote-unquote enlightenment and then cease looking for direction, right? Or cease asking for assistance at any given point or additional instruction or whatever it may be. Because there's always going to be those who are more evolved than you. And you will be one of those who will be more evolved than others. That's just the way it is, right? So you can always be there once you reach that level to be of assistance to others. And that's the only time you can be of assistance to others, truly. If you have blocks in place in your life, you cannot help other people until those blocks are removed by you, because you're the only one who can remove them. You understand? So truly, when you've heard it before, you know, from other teachers, and it's in, I think, ACIM, Jesus in there says, you know, like, basically, you have to help yourself first. When one awakens, all awaken. But you have to help yourself first. And that is absolutely true. You cannot be of assistance to others until you have freed yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that in the world you can't be of assistance to others, because of course you can. I'm talking about from a deeper place, okay? You can't help someone wake up if you aren't awake. You understand? Okay, good. So within this whole life that you've created for yourself and this desire to remember yourself as divine, and not even divine. I don't think divine is a good enough word. We'll just use the word that it is, you know. Remember yourself as God. I think divine, it's too easy to water it down. And it's too ephemeral. It's like, oh, it's divine, you know. But it's not specific. God is pretty specific. And that's what you are. If it can be specific, something that you can't put a word to, but it is, isn't it? And that is what you are. And that's what you're here to remember, right? It's not that you lost it. It's not that you stopped being it, right? Even though consciousness is identified with a persona, it doesn't mean God isn't present. It doesn't mean that at all. God's in all of it, right? But you're here to wake up from the space of dreaming yourself as a limited, individualized being with all of these needs and desires and fears and all of that. None of that is you. Never was, never will be. And until you have done the work to transcend the needs, the desires, and the fears, you won't remember yourself as God. And it is that simple. That's what it takes. So there's time for meditation and floating away, and there's time for boots on the ground, down in the mud, getting dirty and trudging through it. And that's the part that I like to address more than anything with people now, right? It's very easy to get lost in meditation, and it's very dangerous. There are a lot of people out there who are very stuck in the space of, you know, they've gone into meditation and they've learned, they've trained themselves to stay in meditation for longer periods, and they do experience the recharging of their energetic batteries through meditation, and they have lovely experiences of things that they see and witness in meditation, and that can become its own form of it's like a siren that calls to you, you know, and it's not for your own benefit. You have to remember what you do experience in meditation, that movement of consciousness is still, it's still passing, you know. It still comes in and form and moves out of form, and that's not eternal, right? It's just a play of consciousness. So can it be beautiful? Of course, you know. Can it be amazing? Of course. But it can also be an enormous trap. You have this one, you know, seemingly transcendent experience, and then you find yourself feeling like every time you meditate after that, it's not as good, or you're not doing something right, or it must be, I'm not, you know, I'm eating too much meat because I can't get back to that state. And all of that stuff is just pure identification with the personal self. That's all just ego talking, and it's ridiculous, okay? Every time you're in meditation is unique to that experience. It need not be judged against anything else that you have ever had, any expectation you may have in place. Any stories you've heard from others, any stories you've heard from spiritual teachers who may talk about different levels of meditation, things that are experienced along the way, you know, they can be lovely guide markers for people, but they can also serve as things that will keep people from being able to attain them. Because you set up expectation and you're constantly chasing something, and then you do have an experience with it, and then you doubt your experience because someone told you about it ahead of time. So mind will play with that and go, well, it probably wasn't real. You know, I'd heard about that before, probably wasn't real. That's why it's always been my experience that you're better off, you know, kind of staying away from all of that learning stuff. So that when you have your experiences, there's nothing there that's going to support a sense of doubt that you had the experience. Because that's all you've got, people, is your own experience. You're not going to walk off the life-death cycle by hearing about my experience. You're not going to walk off the life-death cycle by, you know, reading someone else's experience or reading an instruction manual on ascension. It's not how it works. You walk off because of your own work and your own experience. Actualization is what is required in order to make this journey. Well, how are you going to actualize yourself as God if you're trying to do it through the words of someone else? Or the experience of someone else. And then you won't even recognize it when it happens to you. Or, like I said, the mind takes it and creates doubt out of it when it does happen to you. You'd be better off, have your own experiences, live your life, you know. You've got someone like me who's giving you guidance, right? But not telling you what to look for. And then you have your experience. And when you have it, you'll know it, because there's something that's every time you move into a different level of consciousness and you have the experience of it, there's something so unique about the experience itself. You just won't forget it. You know, you just won't forget it. And then take that experience to the person that you know has walked the path, right? If you're, and they can be there for confirmation, which is beautiful. And, but they won't always be. There are teachers who, you know, depending on the student, sometimes they're great for confirmation. Sometimes they won't give it, because if that's what you're looking for, it's not necessarily the best thing for you, right? All depends on the teacher-student relationship. But I will say, in my experience, there have been so many times where I've had, you know, scads of experiences that I didn't understand, didn't try to, just had them. And then later, through some thing that happened to come up into my awareness, not because I searched it out, but because it came to me, which is what spirit does. It will present itself to you at the right time, right? Through whatever form is needed. And so I've had more experiences of that, where something presented itself to me, and in hearing it, reading it, seeing it, whatever it was, I had that moment of, oh my gosh, that's what that was. I've had that. I know that. Right. And then that's confirmation. Right. So that's spirit coming to you to say, you know, if there was a piece of doubt, throw it away, because here's your confirmation. It's real. Because mind wants to doubt everything. It does that very well. At the moment of the imprint itself, doubt was one of the first things that came in. So mind is really good at it. And it plays that piece for a really long time. So even my students who have been with me a while, none of them have moved into that space yet where that is transcended. It takes a while. Why? Because it takes a lot of experience, right? To get to the place where doubt is vanquished. And I'll use that word, because that's what it feels like. It feels like you have to vanquish it. Slay it. So back to your journey. Your life is your journey, regardless of what you're doing with it. It doesn't matter. There's not one thing that's more appropriate or less, or one thing that's more valuable or valid than another. It doesn't matter. It's your journey, and it's what you're doing. So every place in your life where you're experiencing a fear, whatever that is, and however pervasive it is, and however subtle it may be, or screaming, you know, loud and clear that you're afraid, doesn't matter. Every single one of those is a block to your awakening, okay? Every one of them. You have to walk through every one of them. And I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. Every one of them. Does it take courage to do this work? You better believe it. Because who wants to purposefully confront every single fear that they've got? Well, no one, right? Oh, I'm consciously going to decide to confront every fear I've ever had, right? The beautiful thing is some of the work is actually done in the dream state, which is awesome, right? But that's not your cop-out. That's not your thing to go, well, I don't think I have to deal with that one, because we'll deal with that when I'm sleeping. I wish it was that simple. There are blocks that are coming up in your lives right now. For everybody listening to me, there are blocks that are in place, and they are keeping you stuck. the reason that that block is there is because you have resistance to doing whatever it is that's required of you to do. And it's that resistance that's keeping you stuck. So you have to train yourselves to go in and find the little subtle clues that you get along the way of where your resistance lies. Whenever you experience resistance, that's your clue to follow it. You can follow that all the way to your freedom because it's showing you you're stuck. Now imagine if you take that little piece, right? And now look at your daily life. How many times in your daily life would you say in the course of a week, right? Course of a full week. So you have a full work week and then you got a full like weekend or whatever, however it works for you. And in that course of 7 days, how many times do you think you experience a sense of resistance? Be it full blown, like, no, I'm not doing that. Or a very subtle one that goes, You know, if you say just a couple times, I don't think I believe you. Because you are full of them. You just aren't trained to pick them out. And that's part of what's required if you really want to, if you want to step off the life-death cycle, if you want to ascend, if you want enlightenment, we can call it whatever we're going to call it, right? You feel like you've had enough of doing this whole polarized world thing? You're going to have to work hard to get through it. That's why you've been here so long, because it's not easy. You've all had lives where you've already done the spiritual thing. You've been monks and you've been priests and rabbis and nuns and whatever else. You've done that route. I promise you, you have. Because if you're listening to me, it means the call to return home is great with you, right? If you're listening to me, the call to return home is really great with you, or you would not even find me in your awareness. It just wouldn't happen. You could look at a picture of me and you wouldn't even see it. So that tells me you've already done it. You've meditated in caves and, you know, you've done the whole mortification of the body and vows of celibacy and vows of poverty, and you've done all of it. Right. And it all brought you to where you are now. Right. But now the cool thing is you don't have to do that stuff anymore. Right. There's been enough lifting of consciousness on the planet that now all you have to do, I say all you have to do like it's a minor thing, but all you have to do is live your life consciously here. You don't need to run away. You know, there's no better place to do spiritual work. Are there places on the planet that, you know, energetically can facilitate it? Well, sure, of course. But then, you know, then what happens when you come back home? You're sitting in the middle of a city in some of the densest energy on the planet. Well, then what happens? Well, then I guess you're in trouble, aren't you? Because you didn't learn how to transcend that energy in it. You learned it someplace else. So do it where you're at, you know. You don't have to go find some, everybody wants to run away to Hawaii or run away to India or, you know. If you're in a city, be in the city. You're here to love it where you're at. Love it where you're at. Accept it for what it is. No resistance. Acceptance. Right? And then start looking for the clues in your life of where you're stuck. Oh, I hate that guy at work. Really? Why? Now start recognizing that when you experience that sense of, I hate that guy at work, it's only because that guy is reflecting a part of your own persona that is hidden from you because it's unconscious. It's hidden from you because you're in resistance to it, because you're repulsed by it, because you don't want to look at it, much less own it as you. Therefore, you project it on him and you blame him for it. It's not him. It's you. Not the real you, but the you that you think you are. And there is no getting to the real you until you move through the you that you think you are. You see? It has to get dissolved out. And this is the beauty of the work. You have everything you need to do it in your own life. You don't need anything else. It's right there. It's right there. And believe me, if there's anything that needs to come to you so that you can do additional work, it'll come to you. You don't have to go looking for it. It'll find you. That's how spirit works. There are many of you listening who are walking in a level of grace because of your deeds, of your own work up to this point. You have assistance from the masters that you don't even know about, that you can't even see. You have support that you don't know about, that you can't see. I'm telling you about it because it's real, and you do need to understand that it is real. You also need to understand that that support can be removed. How does it get removed? It gets removed when you're told over and over again what needs to happen. Something where you're stuck and you need to address it and you need to move through it, and you consistently don't listen. Then you run the risk of it being removed. I've seen it happen. It's not pretty in the world, at least from the vantage point of the personal self. I've watched people's lives fall apart. Why? Because the work is hard. It has to be. You've identified with something that is so powerful in its construct that it is extremely hard to break out of it from the space of being in it. It's one of those paradoxical things, because once out of it, it's ridiculously simple. That is the experience, that was so simple. Why did I never see that, right? And most of my students have had experiences with just that, you know, moving through another layer, and then they're like, oh my gosh, like, duh, why didn't I ever see that before? Well, because you couldn't. And it seems so simple when you're in that level of consciousness, but until you reach it, you can't see it. You can't see it. It is hidden from you. That's why there are people like me in place here. You know, do I need to do this with my life? No. Why do I do this with my life? Because having walked the path, my experience was, thank God there was someone out there who was doing this with their life, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here, right? Now it's something I can do to help others. Why wouldn't I do it? I can't think of anything better to do with my life. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not to say there's anything wrong with doing anything with your life, right? I could go live on a farm and be perfectly happy, and that would be just great. But that's not what I'm here to do. You know, some of us are here to be the teachers and here to be the guides, and that's why I came in this time. So let me do my job, and how about this? You do your job, which means you listen to what I'm saying to you, and you pay attention, and you apply yourself. You know, it's just like school. You don't apply yourself in trigonometry, what happens? Right? You fail. And then what? You have to do it over again. Do it over again. Do it over again. I say that because I was a terrible math student. Trigonometry was not my thing. So this isn't any different, right? It's just you, this is the tricky part. Here, the work has to be, how would I say that? Like self-propelled. Meaning, if you go to school, you have a teacher who's standing over you saying, this is your due date and this is what you have to do. And if you don't do it, this is, you know, what's going to happen. And they lay it all out for you. So you have, you know, you have the choice to choose not to do anything and fail, and that's fine. But their, you know, their job as a teacher is to really, well, Megan knows, right? To make sure that you're stepping up to plate and doing what you need to do. So she'll put pressure on you. She needs to put pressure on you, or she'll support you in a more motherly, nurturing way if that's what works for you, like whatever it is. Yeah. So that's great. Well, spiritual work is not quite like that. The guide can encourage you. The guide can point things out to you. But it's all in your hands concerning if you're going to do it or not do it. Right? And so there's no one you can look to blame for anything that happens in your life except for yourself. Because you either do it or you don't. And the thing that you have to remember is the one, generally speaking, that's making the decision to do it or not to do it is not the one that you're wanting to be. The desire has to come from that fire inside of you. That fire for truth, you know. Without that, you might as well not even do it. We were just watching a very cool movie here, some of Joseph Campbell's work, and he tells a story in it, and he's relating it to different types of Buddhism. But in the story, you know, there's this fairy that's taking you from the world, you know, to what we'll call nirvana, or from polarization to non-polarization. And the point is that, you know, you desire the fairy, and it takes the desire for the fairy to even show up for you, right? So that has to be in place first, and then the fairy does show up. But then once you have the ability to board the fairy, they make it very clear to you that, look, if you don't, this is hard stuff. If you don't have it in you to see it through, don't even bother getting on. And that's where I sit with people. This is not easy work. You know, you're looking at the personality that you've come to know and love and hate as yourself is a program that is very intricate and very subtle. And some of those things that you are going to have to work to transcend are so deeply ingrained that they are truly, truly challenging to get through. And you, without that, you know, drive in the pit of your stomach to push through it, you won't push through it. You see what I'm saying? That's what it takes. You have to, you go into it with the understanding that, you know, this is like training for a decathlon. This is, you know, you're in it for the long haul. And you're going to have to monitor yourself, and you're going to have to, you know, be constantly vigilant with everything that's going on, all the thoughts that you're witnessing. I mean, just that alone, how many of you are vigilant enough to recognize every time you have a thought that it's not yours? I mean, that right there is incredibly challenging. When you get to the space where you literally can watch them, you watch them move through, but you don't attach to any of them. Now, sitting on one side, you can see it for what it is. It's actually very simple. And then you look and say, well, you know, gosh, when is it that these people are going to figure it out? Right? But when you're in it and you've had a lifetime and God knows how many others where you thought that you were the creator of your thoughts, right?
You believe you're the creator of your thoughts, and I'm telling you, you're not. I mean, that right there is like, wow, what do you do with that? You aren't your thoughts. You didn't create them. They aren't coming out of who you are. They're completely irrelevant to you. Oh, boy, what do we do with that? Now I'm telling you that you have to maintain that sense of awareness all the time. All the time. Not easy. Not easy. And you'll feel like you've got it for a while. Oh, I got this. Right? Until you happen to smash your finger in the door. And then this whole sense of, oh my gosh, that hurt. I can't believe I did that. I'm such an idiot. And then the whole story's running and you have no sense that the identification is right there. And then the story is created. And all the thoughts that come as to why it happened, you're completely running away with and believing and all of it. Saying it's such a minor little thing that triggers the identification again. So minor. But yet you do have, I love Byron Katie for this, because Byron Katie, I mean, she doesn't even reference herself as me, you know? She won't say my hand. She'll say the hand, because that's the world she lives in. Like, it just doesn't, it's just not a reality for her to consider anything that's, you would think of as your body, as her. But, you know, for you, you slam your finger and tell you you're not your body. Right? The work is, you know, it is the hardest thing you could ever do. It just is. But understand that there's reasons for you being in this space of having to do this work that you can't possibly comprehend. And you are exactly where you need to be right now. And there is something on the other side of it that you can't comprehend either, that is coming your way when you actually do follow through with this work, with the great undoing, you know, the great unraveling. Glories you can't even, your mind couldn't wrap itself around. And then you're capable of being here. And really being here. Do you realize you're not even here when the identification is running? Do you realize that? Do you realize that you as you are completely unconscious? You're not even here for it. The program runs. There's a witness back there watching, right? But that witness isn't even seen, because this identification with this program is so strong. And you aren't that program. So whatever it is you're dealing with in your life that is challenging you, that is keeping you limited, it's time for you to, you know, be like Michael, get out that big old blue sword. Cut it away, cut it away, cut it away. There's a reason we say that. It doesn't serve you. These demons of yours don't serve you. They're keeping you stuck. They're keeping you limited. They're keeping you small. And they're keeping you as the shadow of what you really are. There was one of my students sent me a piece of writing, and I thought I want to bring it up because the statement is so accurate for everyone, and it's just perfect. And in the statement, what the person recognized was that in moments where the person could see that he or she was incapable of doing something, that the tendency was to do this. And I looked at it and I was like, this is perfect. How many of you would agree with that? That you allow the sense that you're incapable of doing something to stop you from moving forward. And if you can recognize that in yourself, what you've got to do is look at it from an objective place. How many things have you actually come across in your life that you were truly incapable of doing? Truly. Look at that. If you're a man, you're incapable of giving birth. That's accurate. That's accurate. In this form, I'm incapable of lifting 1,000 pounds over my head. That's accurate. Okay. I'm incapable of that. Okay, great. So that's not our daily lives. Look at your daily life. What is it that you run away from that you say, I can't do it? And it's just an excuse. It's just a justifier, and it's flat out a cop out. You're lying to yourself. Why? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Well, I can't do that. Oh, bullcrap. Tell me, if you didn't actually sit down and try, you couldn't do that? Or what are you saying? What is it that you're really saying? See, these are the things you've got to start looking at. What are you saying? Are you saying, I'm not willing to do it? You might be saying that. You might be saying, it's not worth my time to do it. You might be saying, I don't think the payoff would be good, big enough to make it worth my while to do it. You see, there are so many things that lay underneath it, but you never get that far because all you get to is, oh, I can't. And that's just not realistic. Most things out there, you know, when I was a student taking trigonometry, that would have been my thing. I can't do that. I've tried. I can't. As an adult, can I look back and go, was it true that you couldn't? Of course not. I never even tried hard enough. With the IQ I had, of course I could have done that. Are you kidding me? But I didn't care enough to. And I didn't want to apply myself. It was really that simple. But, you know, from the space I was in, it was, I can't. It's crap. What I'm saying to you is if you are serious about this quote-unquote spiritual stuff, you got to start being honest with yourself. You got to start looking at yourself. Where are you letting yourself down over and over and over and over again? Because you're the one doing it. You do it to yourself. No one's doing this to you. You do it to yourself. Why do you do it to yourself? What is the payoff for you? And that's what you have to look at. What's the payoff? For some people, they want to fail. Don't bring that to them. They're going to say, are you crazy? I don't want to fail. That's ridiculous. Oh, really? Then why do you continually put yourself in a position where you end up failing? Because you want to fail. It really is that simple. And you can sit there and tell me every sob story you can come up with and have all these justifiers with this, that, and the other thing, blah, blah. But you know what? The bottom line is, if you really cared, you'd do the work. And it's true for anything in your life. You're with someone in a relationship and, you know, they're saying they're displeased with how things are going and you feel all victimized, boo-hoo, poor you. What are you doing to step up and fix it? Where are you showing up to make things better? Everyone's so dang lazy. Everyone is so lazy. Makes me sick sometimes at how people live their lives. I want to do this, but I can't because of this.
Every time I do this, that happens. Oh my gosh, enough already. Do something with your life. That you're here to live a life, you know? You're here to be in joy. Live a life. Be in relationship. See God everywhere, including in yourself. And the only way you will get to that point is by confronting all of those things about yourself that you just don't want to look at. And we all have them. We all do. Don't think that just because I sit here with a microphone in front of me that I didn't have to do this, because I did. And I had my own demons that I had to confront. We all do. The difference is I showed up and I worked my ass off, excuse my language. I gave it everything I had because I was done. I did not want to do this again. And I was willing to do whatever it took to lose whatever I had to lose in order to be in the space that I'm sitting in right now. And it wasn't easy. And I don't regret a second of it. Not a second. Not a second. And I do it over again a billion times. I'm going to leave you with that. What I want you to know is you have support. If you listen to me, you have my support. And you may not feel it. You may not know it. It doesn't matter. It's there. You're connected to me. If you're listening to me, you are. And you have the support of those that I'm in lineage with and that I work with. And you have the support of your creator, that which you are, that which you live in and through as you. You are never alone. You never can be alone. Take courage in that. Walk it in your life. Know that someone's with you every step of the way and confront all these things that need to be addressed. Much love to you. I will see you next week. Enjoy the meditation.
You are divine.